Today's gospel is a continuation from yesterday. So I want to start with a return to what was said at the end of yesterday's gospel. Remember, Peter tried to get in the way of Jesus' pursuit of the passion, and Jesus rebuked him, said, "You're an obstacle. You're an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." So this is fundamental, that there are two different ways of thinking. There's the way God thinks and the way that human beings think. And because we're human beings, we're much more familiar with the human way of thinking than we are with God's way of thinking. That's why it's so important for us to pray, to ponder the word, to let God's way of thinking sink into us, or we need to immerse ourselves in God's way of thinking, because it doesn't come naturally to us. It's very helpful when we ponder the Old Testament. We see actually both on display, human thinking and divine thinking. If you want to think of human thinking, all you have to think about is the readings we've had recently, where the Israelites, who have been freed from slavery in Egypt, are complaining about how tough life is in the desert. That's human way of thinking. When they were in Egypt, naturally they wanted to be free. Now that they're free, they want more melons and cucumbers. They're tired of the manna. And they're thinking that they're suffering unjustly, and therefore some terrible injustice has been done to them. And this is very typical of us. We very quickly remember the bad things that have happened to us, or things that we think are bad, or how people have mistreated us, or how God has failed us. And we very quickly forget the blessings, the countless blessings that we've received. Now, what we get in today's first reading is Moses reminding the people of God's way of thinking. And you can see how different it is. Whereas the Israelites had this tendency to think that they were in the worst possible condition, Moses points out, actually, what you experienced is the greatest possible thing. There's nothing greater than having God choose a people and save them and provide for them. And this is what he says over and over in this reading. Did anything so great ever happen before? They're saying, did anything so terrible ever happen before? And Moses is saying, did anything so great ever happen before? A completely different approach to the same event. Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire and as you did and live? Did any God save a people? Did anyone experience what you experienced? So God's way of thinking is, what is happening for my chosen people is the best. And the human way of thinking is, this is the worst. We should go back to Egypt. Okay, with that in mind, this distinction between the two different ways of thinking, we pick up today's gospel. Remember, this comes right after Jesus corrected Peter and told him, you're being an obstacle. Get behind me, Satan. You're being an obstacle. You're getting in the way of the very thing that you actually want, which is freedom, salvation. You're getting in the way of it. And so he continues in today's gospel instructing the apostles on what he's talking about here. And he says, whoever wishes to come after me, which is the good thing, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that seems to us like the bad thing. Well, yeah, we want to follow Jesus. We want the freedom that comes from being saved. But we don't want to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow. We want to do things our own way. There we go again. We so quickly think the way human beings think, and we're so slow to think the way God thinks. So Jesus does us the favor of explaining it again. No, whoever wishes to save his life, meaning whoever wants to just do it his own way, will lose it. That doesn't work. If you want to go back to Egypt, you can do that, but you're going to be worse off. That doesn't work. No, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now we say, lose my life. Who wants that? It's because we're thinking humanly, we're thinking naturally, we're thinking that that loss is too big a price to pay, when in fact, it's nothing by comparison to what we gain. And so Jesus, knowing that we have this kind of economic way of approaching things, he says, okay, well, what profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Let's say you gain not only cucumbers and pomegranates. What if you gained the whole world? What if you got everything you ever wanted and you lose yourself? What would you really gain? It's a way of God applying our own, I say, economic thinking, our own way of weighing the costs and the benefits, and saying, well, look at the real situation is what you think is such a high cost for so little benefit is exactly the opposite. It's not much cost. You lose your life, but your grasp of your life is so tenuous anyway. But what you gain is eternal life. What can one give in exchange for his life? Now, the natural way of thinking is that my life is the most valuable thing I've got. My life in this world and all the pleasures and the attachments and advantages and relationships and everything, that's what I've got. And that's the very thing I don't want to lose. And Jesus says, no, God's way of thinking is different. God has more for you than you even can possibly imagine. So let go of what you think is so important and follow me. And you'll find something much more important, much greater, what will make you much happier. So this is very fundamental. But we won't get it if we remain thinking the way human beings think. The only way we can get this is if we open ourselves to the way God thinks. And that's the way of faith. Faith is to accept God's way of thinking, even though it's contradictory, even though it's confusing to us and we have lots of questions. We humble ourselves, if we're wise, we humble ourselves and say, well, no, I'm going to accept God's way of doing things, God's way of thinking. Today's saint is an expert at this, Saint Dominic, founder of the Dominicans. He lived at a time when there was a very strong movement, sometimes referred to as a heresy, but actually it was really a different religion. It wasn't even a Christian movement. It was the Albigensians. And the Albigensians they were dualists. They believed in, they're something like the Manichees in the days of St. Augustine. If you remember, St. Augustine for a while was a Manichean. And the Manichaeans, just like these Albigensians, they believed that matter was evil and it was the fruit of an evil principle in the world, some kind of an evil force, and that spirit was good and that's what came from God. So anything material was automatically evil, including the body. So the Albigensians lived very ascetical lives. Those who were in the core group, the ones they called the perfect ones, they didn't marry, they fasted. In fact, they thought death was a good thing. They even advocated suicide because might as well free the good part of you from the evil part of you. And that error, which is a very serious error, was spreading around southern France, northern Spain, and was really deceiving a lot of people, partly because the clergy at that time were living, generally speaking, very luxurious, even scandalous lives. And so the common people said, well, these Albigensians are obviously the holy ones because they're living self-denial, poverty, they're really disciplined people and they really live according to what they believe. Whereas these Catholic clergy, they live in palaces and great clothes and lots of food and people bow down to them. And so who wants to follow them? So along comes Dominic and others. He wasn't the only one, but he realized that what the people needed was the Word of God. They needed authentic preaching. They needed to be taught the truth. And they also needed genuine witness. So it's not enough for someone to speak the truth if his life is a lie. So Dominic and his brothers dedicated themselves to deny themselves, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. And in doing so, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. So it was very effective. Dominic then absorbed God's way of thinking and then became an instrument of God to help other people learn God's way of thinking, to free them from natural or human ways of thinking. Albigensians were very human in their distorted understanding of reality. These errors come up all the time. Even in our times, there's a tendency to reject the material world, thinking that there's something wrong with it, and just say spirit is only what's good. And then at the other extreme, the people who idolize the material world and think there's no such thing as a spiritual world. Well, that's all the way human beings think. The way we can be set free from all these errors is to learn how God thinks. Or the expression that Jesus used in yesterday's gospel, thinking as God does. God's way of thinking is all love, all gift, all for the other. That's everything God does is out of love. And so once we immerse ourselves in this way of thinking, we discover the greatness of love. Yes, material things are not bad, but they're not everything either. We can be detached. We don't submerge ourselves in catering to our whims. We learned about this yesterday. You're studying temperance. So, but the main point is, natural thinking will lead us back into slavery, the errors that are so common. But God's way of thinking leads us to freedom, leads us to the fulfillment of life in love.